Монголын дуу хоолой радио ярьж байна.
The Voice of Mongolia in English is speaking. Сайн байна уу? Welcome to the Voice of Mongolia in English, which comes to you from Ulaanbaatar, the capital city of Mongolia. This half-hour transmission can be heard in Southeast Asia at 900 UTC on 12085 kHz and in Europe at 1430 UTC at 12015 kHz shortwave. You can also visit our website at www.vom.mn/en and listen to an online version of our daily broadcast.
Hello, welcome to a new edition of The Voice of Mongolia in English. In this edition, we'll have the daily news first, followed by a musical break as usual. Then we'll have a second part of interview made with Michelle Manuk, CEO of Future Coal, and Zal Jargal, CEO of Mongolian Coal Association, as they explore the future of coal and sustainable energy solutions. So stay tuned. Here is the news. Prime Minister of Mongolia receives Ambassador of China. Prime Minister of Mongolia Yung Ertin received Ambassador of China to Mongolia Xing Minjuan. Prime Minister Yung Ertin expressed the satisfaction that relations and cooperation between Mongolia and China are developing, resulting in concrete progress. The sites also highlighted the signing of the agreement between the governments of Mongolia and China on the construction of the Qashun-Sukhat-Ghansmot cross-border railway and the letter of exchange for a project to establish cooperation center for combating desertification. The parties discussed the accelerating cooperation between the two countries, focusing on several important topics such as alleviating traffic congestion and reducing agglomeration in Ulaanbaatar City, as well as fostering bilateral cooperation in renewable energy. Prime Minister Yung Ertin introduced that the government of Mongolia launched the Go Mongolia National Tourism branding in conjunction with the government's announcement 2023-2025 as the years to visit Mongolia. In light of this initiative, Prime Minister of Mongolia proposed to implement specific projects and programs aimed at expanding and developing tourism cooperation in the border areas of the two countries. Kyrgyzstan and Mongolia discuss issues of military cooperation. First, the Deputy Minister of Defense of the Kyrgyz Republic and head of the Presidential Administration of Mongolia held a bilateral meeting at the Ministry of Defense of Kyrgyzstan on April 18, the Ministry of Defense reported. The parties discussed the current and future areas of cooperation during the meeting. In particular, the sides expressed readiness to continue working together on peacekeeping activities. The head of the Presidential Administration of Mongolia noted support for joint initiatives of the parties to strengthen the potential of the armed forces of Kyrgyzstan and Mongolia. Mining collaboration to be intensified with India. Deputy Minister of Foreign Affairs welcomed Ambassador of the Republic of India to Mongolia and received a copy of his credential on April 12. During their meeting, Deputy Minister emphasized the importance of strengthening the strategic partnership between Mongolia and India. He highlighted the need to expand and enhance cooperation in various sectors such as tourism, agriculture, transportation, logistics, and information technology. Additionally, Deputy Minister stressed the significance of enriching the economic cooperation between the two countries with new initiatives, particularly emphasizing the commissioning and successful execution of joint large-scale projects and programs, such as oil refineries. In response, Ambassador assured Deputy Minister of India's commitment to bolstering bilateral ties. He also pledged to prioritize increasing the frequency of high-level mutual visits, ensuring the timely implementation of Mongolian-Indian joint projects, facilitating the entry of Mongolian mining products into the Indian market, and promoting greater participation of Mongolian students and young professionals in education and employment opportunities in India. Camel Riding Service welcomes tourists. The Ministry of Environment and Tourism has informed that camel riding services has started on the 24th kilometer of the Dalinzadrat-Ulaanbaatar road on the initiative of the Camel Riders Association of Hanghongorsom of South Gobi Province. Domestic and foreign tourists visiting the Gobi region can not only ride camels, but also take photos, go on day trips, and participate in polo mats. Also, opportunities provided to get to know camel-related rituals and herder families. There are quite a few individuals and herders who rent out horses and camels to tourists. Especially during the peak season of tourism, this type of service provider increases dramatically. The Camel Riders Association of Hanghongorsom, in order to provide comprehensive services, aimed to build the horse of camel riding and promote the culture and heritage. Mongolian camels are Bactrian and have two humps. The Gobi is the perfect place to experience all the fun of camels, which are surprisingly more comfortable than horse riding as they walk slowly and gently, and people will be well supported by the humps, sitting comfortably between them. Best National Script Readers to be identified. The national competition for the best reader of Mongolian traditional script will be held on May 4th to 5th at the Zasung Hill Complex. This competition will take place on a large scale within the framework of the Year of National Literacy and Culture. The Mongolian government issued a resolution declaring 2024 as the Year of National Literacy and Culture. The resolution states that the 800th anniversary of Chinggis Khan's stone inscription and the 400th anniversary of stone inscriptions of Toktkhon Taj, Prince of Khalkha, are going to be celebrated in this year respectively, according to article of the Law on Public Celebrations and Commemorative Days. The traditional Mongolian script, also known as the Mongolpichik, was the first writing system created especially for the Mongolian language and was the most widespread until the introduction of Cyrillic in 1946. It is traditionally written in vertical lines from top to down directions. Derived from the old Uyghur alphabet, it is a true alphabet with separate letters for consonants and vowels. It's been adapted in Oirat and Manchu scripts as well. Alphabets based on this classical vertical script continue to be used in Mongolia and Inner Mongolia Autonomous Region in China. Mongols learned their script as a syllabary and dividing the syllables into 12 different classes based on the final phonemes of the syllables of all which ended in vowels. When participating in the competition, people are advised to wear the national clothes and register on time. The national competition includes the best contestant selected from provincial and capital city competitions. Well, that's all for today's daily news. After the musical break, we'll have the second part of interview made with Michelle Manuk, CEO of Future Coal, and Zol Jargal, CEO of the Mongolian Coal Association. So stay tuned. Please welcome back. You are tuning to Voice of Mongolia. In this episode, we'll present the second part of interview made with Michelle Manuk, CEO of Future Coal, and Mr. Zol Jargal, CEO of the Mongolian Coal Association, as they explore the future of coal and sustainable energy solutions in Mongolia. So stay with us.
Currently, the world is facing many challenges, including conflicts and geopolitical issues. How do you see, how does those issues impact Mongolian coal export, and how does it impact Mongolian economy?
Observing a trend of last 2 years, the global trend impacts, I cannot say positively, but increase Mongolian coal export. China imports more from Mongolia and Russia than from other sources. Before, they import a lot of coking coal from Australia, even from United States of America, from Africa, different countries. But most of coking coal is now supplied by Russia and Mongolia. I think this is somehow influenced by global geopolitical situation to be more secure about their supply sources, regional reliable neighbors. So in that sense, yes. And globally, last 2 years, the global consumption of coal consequently achieved historical highest amount, 8.3, and then last year I think 8.4 billion tons of coal. And this shows we are concerning about climate change, yes, but when there is something urgent that you have to be secure for your life, secure energy supply, then coal is increasing. Maybe you can.
Well, I'm definitely. I would say that certainly since the pandemic, and then of course the conflicts, but there's been a move to and a reminder of the importance of energy security and supply security, and I think that that was quite critical. And you know, I've heard it. I've been in Beijing this last week, and here amongst, you know, talking to some of your key players here, and you know, everyone, you know, has made the comment that people realized how important coal was as soon as they, you know, their reliable power wasn't, or an affordable power wasn't there, or they couldn't, they didn't have the access to, you know, to their energy source. And I think, you know, the pandemic and the conflicts have really put a very bright light on that idea that we can't dismiss the importance of energy security and supply security, and certainly for coal importers, you know, those nations that import a lot of their coal, supply security became quite important, and making sure that they could have more direct relationships, or even looking at whether they wanted to be involved more vertically or more horizontally in terms of their coal businesses. So everybody started to think about these things from a coal industry business perspective, but from a government perspective, the importance of stabilizing your energy source, the importance of having that reliable baseload, you know, again, became just as important as, you know, reaching our environmental goals. And that's, you know, that's as it should be. We should have a balanced viewpoint on these two matters. And I think what, you know, from a perspective of geopolitics, certainly from my perspective, what I saw is that many more nations that shared, you know, in particular coal-based economies, and the two largest being India and China, were very and have been quite loud in their support of abatement technologies for coal, the importance of managing a balanced system, the importance of economic development, but equally the importance of good environmental stewardship. And so I think these things have, you know, brought some nations closer together in terms of realizing they have shared objectives, looking at ways in which they can support and fund each other by sharing risks, but also sharing opportunities, but all with the same vision that, you know, to be a sustainable coal global industry, to have a strong, robust and transparent market, we must work together with and support each other with the same aspiration. And very much this is the platform that Future Coal is really there to leverage and support those nations with those aspirations.
I see. Now let's talk about the cooperation between your two organizations, and what kind of future projects or programs are you planning to implement?
Yeah, I mean, we are very much about, in the first instance, it really is our job to bring the key Mongolian players, industry players, both government and private, to the Future Coal board table so that they can actually articulate and design a key strategy that gives them the opportunity to access diverse funding opportunities or diverse cooperation type opportunities, technologies, all these things that, you know, that will really support the growth and development of the industry here and the supporting infrastructure. So we are really at the initial stages of really developing a program, you know, together. And in fact, we've just come from a conversation where we were really thinking about what, you know, what the nature of that cooperation could be that was supportive of not, you know, of everybody's ambition and aspiration. But very much at the heart of any cooperation for us is really to look at how we can modernize the coal value chain here in Mongolia, how we can apply best practice, how we can bring the abatement technologies that we know exist to help in the pre-combustion sector, in the combustion sector, and in the beyond combustion sector, which we believe will really enable what we call sustainable coal stewardship. So that is very much front of mind. And, you know, we want to support those ambitions that already exist in many of the key industry players to really help them materialize that vision. Yeah.
Mongolia exports coking coal to generate cash, basically speaking. But we have really huge unused potential of various coal types, brown coal, steam coal. Those things, not only government of Mongolia has some strategy, but major companies also have their own plans to produce some final product like this, plastics, for example, from coal or liquid gas fuel, and then could export to other countries, not only Chinese market. This is the target of government and major companies. And when you try to do this, you face several problems. One is financing, because the global approach that coal is bad. And secondly, the knowledge, technology, right? And we believe being taking active participation in global Future Coal Alliance will open this door to us. And the real fact is there are huge, small and big nations that technically cannot reject coal. They has to use it because the huge industry, everything is based on that. And when the global approach rejects coal financing, then that makes use of coal in conventional way, in traditional way, without improving technology. So when you have no choice but you need to use, then if you use coal in sustainable way, then there will be financing. In that sense, we will be step forward to the global target to reduce the emissions. And we think this global initiative will make good contribution to that, to this change. And that's why Mongolian companies are interested to be part of it.
Well, thank you very much for accepting our interview invitation and taking part in our program.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, that was the new episode of our program Sightline. We'll see you next time with more stories and updates. Have a nice day.
Well, that's the end of this edition of The Voice of Mongolia in English. You heard the second part of interview made with Michel Manouk, CEO of Future Coal, and Mr. Zaljara, CEO of the Mongolian Coal Association. So thank you for listening. Have a good day.
шо Өрдийн жаргал гэдэг нь өнөд байдаг Харин гэгэн сэтгэлийг хайгаад байхад золорна Хамгаас онцгой аран шинг мэдэрч цэлмэгсэн Мартад хоёр хүн байдаг болохоор Ирж мэндих буцаж дүгсэх тавилан ташуд Хоёр хүн байдаг жамаас зүхтэх гэд яхах хоёрыг эмхэрдэж амьдрахсаа Нартад хоёр хүн үнэнэ байдаг болохоор Ирж мэндих буцаж төгсөх тавилан ташуд Хоёр хүн үнэнэ байдаг жамаас зүхтэн хэдях бэ Үнэн цөргөс сайхан орхан
That's the end of the program, which comes to you from Ulaanbaatar, Mongolia. The Voice of Mongolia provides half-hour transmission to Southeast Asia at 900 UTC on 12085 kHz and in Europe at 1430 UTC on 12015 kHz shortwave. You can also download the phone application MNB Radio and listen to all the programs of Voice of Mongolia. Your emails and letters are most welcome with your feedbacks and detailed reception report. Please either email them to vom_en@yahoo.com or send them to the English section The Voice of Mongolia, CPO Box 365, Ulaanbaatar 13, Mongolia. Thank you for listening. 바이 때.